Exodus 33, 12 to 17. Then Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you yourself have not let me know whom you will send with me. Moreover, you have said, I have known you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray you, if I have found favor in your sight, let me know your ways that I may know you, so that I may find favor in your sight. Consider, too, that this nation is your people." And he said, "My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest." Then he said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not lead us up from here. For how then can it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not by your going with us, so that we, I and your people, may be distinguished from all the other people who are upon the face of the earth?" The Lord said to Moses, "I will also do this thing of which you have spoken, for you have found favor in my sight, and I have known you by my name." Amen. About 2.5 months ago, I received my permanent Hong Kong ID, which when I think about it, it isn't as permanent as it makes it out to be, because I have to, can't leave Hong Kong for more than 3 years without visiting, or else you lose your permanent Hong Kong ID. But I received it anyways, and it was a pretty monumental time for me, it was pretty important for me, because in my early or mid-20s, I had wanted to move to Hong Kong, and I couldn't, or I tried to, and it didn't work out, because I couldn't get a job, and it was difficult to even get an interview, and so I was finally able to get my Hong Kong ID after living here for 7 years. And so during that time, I just looked back upon when I first moved to Hong Kong, and just was reflecting on the last 7 years and what happened in my life. And I read something that I reread something that I wrote upon when I first got to Hong Kong. And I wrote this, I guess, reflection piece, and I titled it A Life of Favor. And just basically was talking about my journey from Toronto moving to Hong Kong, and what had happened, and how that entire journey, even probably like half a year before I had moved, that God was showing me His favor, even though I didn't really recognize it at certain points. I wrote about how there was this Indian fortune teller that approached me on the street when I was in Starbucks. Actually, I was just sitting there and reading, and he came up and he's like, "You have a very kind face," and he told me my fortune, and he was pretty accurate. It's pretty interesting, but that's a different story for another time. But I wrote how at that time, even getting approached by that Indian fortune teller was really the favor of God, but it was the favor of God that was in me, that was kind of drawing him to me, or at least that was a revelation that I got from God. Anyways, you can ask me about that later. I was just reminded of how God's favor is always upon us, and there's something special about having the favor of God upon us. What's key in this passage is this phrase, favor in my sight, or favor in your sight. And this phrase in Exodus 33 that we read today gets repeated 5 different times. It occurs 5 times in 8 verses. And in some instances, it's like it appears, even in the last, in verse 13, it gets repeated twice. And so it seems very redundant, which means that in this passage, it's a very important thing to focus on favor in, either from God's perspective, favor in my sight, or from Moses' perspective, favor in your sight. The word favor in Hebrew is kan. And it's pretty simple. It means favor, acceptance, to be accepted by someone. And I actually wanted to focus actually more so on the latter half of this passage as we talk about favor of God. I was asking myself, how do we know if someone has a lot of favor from God, or if they're just plain lucky? Whether they're born into the right situation, the right friends, whether they have the right family connections, just happen to step into the elevator at the right exact time where they meet someone that offers them an interview, whatever it is. And I feel like that's part of what Moses is dealing with here. As they are about to enter the promised land, we see that Moses is pleading for God's presence. Like, Lord, you must come with us. If he says, if your presence does not go with us, do not lead us up from here. And it's a strange plea, or not the strange plea, but Moses is, it's not so that Moses is asking for God's presence so that they would be victorious when they enter the promised land. Because God already promises Moses in verse 2. He says, this is chapter 33, verse 2. I will send an angel before you, and I will drive all the Canaanite, the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusites. Go up to a land flowing with milk and honey. God already gives them victory. He says, I'm going to drive them. I'm going to send an angel, my angel, before you, and I will clear the land for you so that you will have victory and that you will be able to claim the promised land as your own. So victory is already promised, but yet Moses still continues to plead for God's presence. He's saying, no, God, that isn't good enough. And so the question comes up, at least for me, is like, why is this desperate need for God's presence? I mean, from our perspective, it's a pretty obvious answer. But from, I was just thinking about it, and from this perspective, that for the Israelites, or in this context, the Canaanites would have looked at the Israelites and could have seen them coming out of Egypt, could have seen them gaining more and more victories as they get into the promised land, could have looked at that as coincidence or luck, or perhaps maybe even as the Canaanites saw the Israelites, well, they're defeating all these people, not because of the angel of the Lord, but because perhaps they're making enough sacrifices to the right gods. Because back in those days, that was how gods operated. You sacrifice, you do things for these gods, and these gods will smile down upon you, will show you their favor, so that you can, your crops will grow, you will be fertile and have lots of children, you will gain military victory. You see this all throughout the Age of Antiquity, where societies and cultures will sacrifice to gods because they are in need of something. And so the Canaanites would have been under this mindset and say, well, the Israelites, they're sacrificing to the right gods so that they're getting all these victories. But what Moses is saying is that God, without your presence, this favor or whatever we have is meaningless. Even if you gave us the entire promised land, without your presence, that the Canaanites won't know who is behind our favor. And as he says, there's nothing to distinguish us from all the other people upon the face of the earth. There's nothing different about us. They just think of us as we are just under some kind of god. And what Moses is saying in this passage, at least I think, he's not so much, when he's asking for God's presence, when he's crying out, it's not so much an affirmation and reassurance for the Israelites. I mean, a part of it, yes, he wants an affirmation and reassurance for the Israelites that God is with them, especially in light of the previous passage where the Israelites worship the golden calf. And so maybe there's a little bit of fear and trepidation, like, well, is God really for us? Is God really going to be with us? Because we just completely disobeyed him. But Moses' request for the presence of God is more so a shout-out to the purposes of God. It's more so, Lord, this is your purpose. How will people know that we are different? How will they know that the favor that we have is not just because we obey some god, but rather we obey the God, that it is you. Without your presence, they won't know. They would just think that it's just some regular God that we're, you know, regular God that we're worshiping. Because God's purpose is that his glory and his goodness would be proclaimed to all the earth. That his blessing will flow through the Israelites. And without God's presence, the world will not know that the Israelites have found favor in God's sight, in Yahweh's eyes. And so Moses is saying, like, Lord, you need to come with us so that as we, as the favor of God, as people see the favor of God manifested through us, they will know that it is you, Yahweh, that is behind it. See, the favor of God that we carry in our lives is not just for our benefit. And Moses isn't saying, like, Lord, we need your presence so that we will know. And part of it is, but it's more so that others would know. So we are blessed, or the favor of God in our lives is given to us in order to demonstrate the power and the glory of God for others to see. We are blessed to be a blessing. We aren't blessed just to hoard, but we are blessed to give out that blessing. It is an externally focused thing. And if we aren't utilizing the favor of God in that way, then we're not really making the best use of what God is giving to us. Like, if you want to experience the favor, or you want to experience the presence of God, you want to, you know, really, you know, have him manifest in your life and feel him, you know, turn the favor that he has given to you externally so that others know who is the source of this favor. If others have, if God has blessed you financially, you know, that's a very easy example, then be very generous. Be very generous with the resources that God has given to you. In Psalm chapter 67, verse 1 to 2, and I'll read verse 7 as well. The psalmist writes, God be gracious to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. And his face, meaning that he's looking at us, he's with us, that your way may be known on the earth, your salvation among all nations. God blesses us that the ends of the earth may fear him. God blesses us so that the ends of the earth may fear him. How would they fear him if they do not know him? And so God blesses us so that we can take what we have to make him known. That there's something different about us. His presence distinguishes us from the rest of the peoples on the earth. And as the people of God, we are to take what he has to demonstrate his glory, his power, his majesty, his goodness to everyone on earth. Which is kind of, you know, what we do when we evangelize, when we share the gospel, when we share the good news. This is what God has done. This is who God is. You know, a cool thing about the Hebrew word kan, favor, in the Septuagint, which is the Greek version of the Old Testament, the word kan is translated into the Greek word charis, which we know is grace. So in other words, I mean, this is my take on it. Moses was asking for God's presence so that his grace may be known to the nations. Moses was asking for God's presence so that the people of the nations would know that it's God's grace that distinguishes them from the rest of the world. That's what the favor of God is. It's not just for us, but it's for other people to know. I needed to be reminded of this quite often, and I found it quite fitting. And that's why I found it quite fitting that I reread what I wrote, you know, 7 years ago when I was reflecting upon my 7 years in Hong Kong. And, you know, I've been so blessed in my life here, in my 7 years in Hong Kong. And, you know, there's so many crazy testimonies that I have. And I have to ask myself, you know, do I take that as, and pay it forward? I've been so blessed, but have I taken that blessing for to others? And so that's the question, you know, I want to leave us with this morning, is how are we taking the riches of His grace that has been freely bestowed and abundantly lavished upon us? And how are we pouring out to others? So as we worship, as we pray today, you know, let Holy Spirit speak to us and guide us today. Yeah, Father, we thank you, Lord, for your favor, God. We thank you for your presence, Lord. We thank you that you dwell within us, Lord, and you lavish your favor upon us, God. We also thank you for the opportunities that you give us, Lord, to show others, God, how you want to transform their lives and affect their lives as well. And so, Lord, may your goodness rest upon us, God, so that others will see, Lord, others would be able to distinguish us from the rest of the world, from the other nations, God, and be so drawn to us, Father, because of your goodness, because of your presence. So we thank you, Lord. let's turn to our community prayer focus. Let's pray for those in our community that have cancer and are undergoing chemo and radiation therapy and other surgeries. Also lift up those who are sick and have also to receive the word of Christ into their hearts. Let's pray for healing and also opportunity for their friends and family to share the gospel to them. Also lift up those in our community that are suffering from various infirmities. Let's pray for God's healing hand over them. Let's lift up those in our community looking for jobs. Pray for open doors, God's favor to be upon them, for God to place them in situations where they can really transform or help change the atmosphere of the workplace. Turning to our mission focus, let's pray for Hong Kong this morning. Let's pray for our government that they will rule well, rule wisely, and not lord power over us, but really that the believers in government would really be led by God. Let's also pray for the wealth gap in Hong Kong. Let's pray for revival amongst all believers in Hong Kong. Let's pray for all the churches that they will continue to find innovative ways to meet and do service in this time. Let's also pray for all the ministries we're involved in: SSI, Shanti, YWAM, Two Moon, Sons and Daughters, Stand Asia, Mother's Choice, the Hong Kong Korean Church, all the students that will be going back to school soon, all the domestic helpers and families in distress, especially in this time when everyone is at home. Pray for the staff, pray for all of us that as we work, we would work well, just by not being in the office, that we will seek out God and His purposes and seek out His guiding for all the ministries that we are leading. For the hospitality team, welcoming and barista, let's pray that you, even though we're not meeting, that people are still being hospitable and that when we meet back again, that these teams would be ready to go and hit the ground running. Let's also pray for worship, sound, and AV teams. Let's pray that on Sundays that this part of our service will run so smoothly, and beyond that, that they would just be so anointed as we lead people through online service. And let's just pray for tonight's gathering, for the EG. Let's pray for everyone who's taking the part in that discipleship class, that that they're just growing and that God is moving in their lives. Father, we thank you, God. Once again, we thank you for your favor. We thank you for your presence, Lord. And God, we have the same prayer as Moses, Lord. The favor, all the things that you do for us, all the things that we have, the blessings, God, none of that means anything without your presence. So for us, Lord, may we seek out your presence, God, day in, day out, God, because that your presence is what distinguishes us from the rest of the world, God. Lord, forgive us in times where we just look for your favor, Lord, and not your presence, God. We seek out your presence, your relationship, Lord. We thank you. We love you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.